Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? How's everybody this evening? Welcome to Sankofa Radio, where we travel through the past, where we stop in the present, on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Askari Donso, and tonight we got a special co-host, a great friend of mine, Oshun Shakur. What up, Oshun, you there? Okay, she may not be in yet, but she'll be in a second. And tonight's topic we're going to add on about is becoming conscious. We want to dialogue a little bit, hope to get some call-ins. We want to talk a little bit about the gift, the curse, the process, a lot of things, you know. Oshun, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, what's up, man? So, yeah, I'm just, before we get started, it's customary that we start every show off with a dedication. And being that today is Memorial Day, I thought it was fitting that we talk a little bit about the brothers and sisters who fought in the Civil War and passed on fight for liberation, because there's a myth, you know, amongst us American Africans that we ain't fight for our liberation, you know, that our liberation was given to us, our freedom was given to us. And so we want to dispel that myth today and give a shout out to all of the black infantry men throughout the Civil War. And we also want to give a particular dedication to those who started Decoration Day, black people in South Carolina in 1865, to honor black Union soldiers, went into an old prison where they had been put into a mass grave and gave them all individual burials. And they had a parade, and they honored our fallen soldiers when the United States government wouldn't. So look at Decoration Day. That's important to understand Memorial Day, because today, typically, is associated with the Confederacy and World War II and a whole bunch of other nonsense, but we're going to dispel that enough today. So moving forward, becoming conscious. Before we get started, man, you know, I wanted to kind of give a little spill, and then I want to ask you a question or so. But the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to let people know that when we talk about becoming conscious, we're talking about a process, and we're talking about various different perspectives on that process. Depending on what type of consciousness you're trying to raise is going to determine the process. Me, I look at consciousness as being heightened awareness, being aware of yourself in the way that you think, being aware in situations, being aware of functions happening in your body, being aware of things that you typically take for granted. And I think the more you heighten your awareness, the more conscious you become, the more in control of your life that you are. I particularly like to espouse what I like to call Afrocentric consciousness, which is the consciousness of myself as an African descendant and being connected to African culture. Oshun.
I'm here.
All right, so what I want to do is I want to start off by asking you, could you tell the people a little bit about yourself and maybe what consciousness means to you?
Okay. As you said, consciousness is definitely to be aware, to become aware of the situations and circumstances that you're living in and the things that are going on around you. If, as you said, knowledge of self and knowledge of your people and your past. As far as about me, well, I'm originally from Chicago, and I would like to tell y'all a little bit about my journey to consciousness, if you don't mind, brother. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a little different. I've always been this real giving, this sweet person, and people always thought they could take advantage of me. And eventually, over time, I grew a shell. And in the shell, I became self-destructive. I lost sight of the things that made me special and made me different. I put all those things in my back pocket, and I sat on them, and I became one with these with what's going on in the world today, these worldly things. And there was a time where I had begun to see God. I was in a really abusive relationship, and a person could take your vibrations down so low, you could be so drained that you could almost die. The doctors and everything thought I had lupus. My hair was falling out really bad, and I was really diligently seeking God. I ended up studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I read the Bible forward to back, and in reading the Bible, I had to put two and two together, because I'm a very intelligent woman. I've been to school, maintained a 3.7 GPA at one of the best community colleges in the nation, along with doing a lot of things with student government and sitting on all type of academic boards and all of that. So in my spiritual journey, I'm reading this book and I'm discerning it. I'm putting two and two together. And it's like, hold on, this book is about me. And if the Bible means basic instruction before leaving Earth, then there's something that goes with this. And it just opened my eyes to a lot of the lies that is told. And I just started that, you know, that his story has told. So I just started digging deeper, and I went to the Quran and the Sumerian tablets and the Torah and all of these different spiritual books. And from going there, I started digging back into my own Afrocentric history, and I found that I needed to do something about our current situation, and that's where I am right now. And I can't stop because I love my people, and I'm totally aware of everything that's going on, and it has to stop, period, and nobody's going to stop it but us, and that's a really big part of becoming conscious.
True indeed, and thank you for that. And that's, you know, to me, man, I think that's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest hurdles for us when it comes to becoming conscious, is getting over the Judeo-Christian value system and ideology and even storyline narrative that's promoted to us indirectly through Americanism throughout our life. You know, my journey to consciousness was different. I became conscious once I got in prison. You know what I'm saying? Prior to me being in prison, I was just a drone. I was just a zombie. And I was out there caught up in the day-to-day matrix every day, you know, thinking it was about money, materialism, egoism. You know what I'm saying? How many women did I have? How much money did I have? How gangster was I? Was I ready to pop somebody top? Those were my goals. That was my mission. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be that dude. And what happened was, coming to prison, you know, I was forced to have to deal with a lot of different things that were already there, but I was taught to overlook, like racism, like classism. You know what I'm saying? Being a victim of that, going to trial, seeing that, you know, because the victim in my crime was white, that I got an exorbitant sentence. And the fact that I was not able to have a lawyer, I had a court-appointed lawyer, impacted the way that the court and the prosecutor dealt with my case and handled my case. All of those things started making me question, like, what the hell is going on in a system where I thought that there was some fundamental fairness, because that's what I had always been taught, you know what I'm saying? So mine was a little different. I also thought that because I come from a strong religious background, too. My grandfather was a bishop, so all my life I was taught Christianity, and those things combined, because they interconnect the American democratic value system along with Judeo-Christianity. They interconnect because they're constructed in that way for them to interconnect and make sense for one another. I was kind of confused, like, well, damn, I'm in here praying every day. You know, I'm in a cell praying every day, and they blessing my ass. You know what I'm saying? Like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Ain't nothing positive coming. You know, and I'm doing all this praying and ain't nothing happening. I end up going to one of the most vicious prisons in the country. I end up going to a supermax where there was, at the time I was there, you know, I was watching a lot of white officers really just chilling, brothers, for real. And it was a reality check. I'm just like, hold up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this ain't working for me, all this praying and all that. So I started studying myself, started going back, doing the knowledge to history, my history, started paying attention to politics, psychology, things like that. And I started just seeing myself, understanding myself, my thought process, how it developed, what it was, and the flaws and errors in my thinking. And it just made me want to begin to find the truth and be better and be more of a factor in the system and not just going with the system. You know what I'm saying? So that's my journey to consciousness, and I've been on the journey ever since. I found the ancestors and ancestral wisdom. I started identifying myself as Pan-African almost 12 years ago now. And what that did for me, man, is it just really helped me construct a strong African identity. I'm proud to be a black man, it's nothing better than that for me. You know what I'm saying? It gives me purpose, it gives me direction, and it makes me connected to a larger community and a larger struggle that predates me, my generation, and will continue on after me. And I feel like I'm part of a continuous thing, and I'm just trying to do my part, you know what I'm saying? So with that said, I want to open the floor with some conversation. I'm going to ask you a question first. The first question I want to ask you is, you know, why do you think it takes courage to become conscious? Or do you even think it takes courage to become conscious?
I definitely know that it takes courage to become conscious and actually do something with your consciousness, because you know, people with the things that you know and the walking dead would think that you're crazy, you know, because they're complacent in what they're doing. They're fine with being slaves, and they're not understanding or open. Some aren't open to what's really going on in the bigger picture. So people will look at you like you're crazy when you say, you know, well, I don't think Jesus exists. Matter of fact, I know Jesus didn't exist because the letter J was only invented 500-600 years ago. So how could his name possibly be Jesus? And people will look at you like, you know, no, you need to, somebody needs to call an exorcism on you or something like that, like you're going crazy. So it's, like, you lose all type of family and friends. You can stop talking to people. People will cut you off. But you have to be, you know that there is a bigger purpose and a bigger picture. And we have bigger things to do than think about, you know, the needs of the one, because the needs of the many are great.
That's powerful. And that's what consciousness has done for me. It's connected me to a larger struggle. But it's also connected me to the universe and my understanding as a piece of a whole thing, right? Just a manifestation of the one. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier, but I identify myself as God. You know what I'm saying? I'm just one portion of the one true and living God, and I'm always trying to raise my consciousness to the supreme God level. I think that one thing that's difficult for people to understand who are trying to become conscious is, you know, just, you know, how God functions and how God operates, because they're taught about God, once again, specifically through the major religion. And the major religions tell you that God is something supernatural outside of yourself, like in another place that don't exist within the universe. And so you're almost like you're almost like shamed into believing certain things, or you're being scared. They fearmonger you into accepting certain things, like, you know, in the Christian faith, they tell you if you question God and speak against Jesus, there's blasphemy and stuff like that. So that's one of the difficult for a lot of people as far as courageousness becoming conscious, because they feel like in some kind of way, you know, they be putting their soul on the line. And I think that makes it difficult because they, you know, because the way of the life that they had previously embraced causes them to have that level of fear, right? What you want to add on with them?
That the Bible tells you not to do a lot of things. The Bible tells you to not inquire of the dead, and, you know, don't mess with astrology, and bad associations spoil useful habits. So the Bible itself tells you don't inquire of the ancestors. It fools you into being afraid of yourself. So it definitely takes a lot of courageousness, because we're taught that we're going to go to this burning inferno if we don't do what the Bible says to do, when in reality we already been living in hell, and, you know, we're going to continue to live here until we create something different.
No doubt. And one thing consciousness does is it allows you to have a whole lot of self-love and self-care, and that's different from being selfish. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you realize who you are and how special you are, just as a manifestation of the one true living God, that your being is divine, you know, it causes you to have a lot more self-respect, self-love. It causes you to behave in a certain way, to allow certain things into your cycle. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes some of us, there's a bad perception of us, maybe that, you know, we are arrogant, or we may think that, you know, we don't have time for people, but that's not the case. Really what it is just we see ourselves now as being part of something so much more bigger than just the material level. You know what I'm saying? And so we don't have time to indulge in nonsense. And that's because of the knowledge that, hey, you know. I want to ask you a question, though, because dealing as a woman, and I'm going to kind of switch gears for a minute, but it's interconnected, because I was thinking earlier about, you know, consciousness for a man and consciousness for a woman, and whether or not the process is different, whether or not the outcome is different. Could you kind of explain what are some of the things women in particular struggle with in becoming conscious? And I'll probably try to explain a little bit some of the challenges in men becoming conscious.
For example, in me first becoming conscious, I had a full weave, probably just got my hair done not too long ago. Okay? And I was listening to a Pharaoh video. And he was explaining how, like, the hair is an antenna and all that good stuff. You know, and how, talking about how the self-hatred and all of that, we're trying to be something that we're not embracing our natural beauty and all of that good stuff. And as he's speaking, I'm sitting with a homeboy of mine, and I'm just, like, ripping the weeds out of my head. Like, you know what? You're right, Pharaoh. Let me get rid of this right here because I do have a lot of hair up under this, and this glue has been taking my hair out anyway, and I don't need a perm. My hair is beautiful. So we go through, because we've been taught pretty much to hate ourselves and to want to be something different, that the straight hair is everything, and, you know, to color it and to basically just not be ourselves, not embrace our natural beauty. And you have to deal with that and become a natural because you do look different. So you have to embrace that new person that you become and become confident in that, because your confidence is everything in the way that you carry yourself. So as a woman, you go from being this, I guess you could say, doll or this costume person to your natural self. So you come into your own when you come into consciousness a lot of times.
Right.
That was my biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, for me as a man, what I see and what I struggle with and what a lot of brothers struggle with is dealing with the ego and, like, gangsterism and, like, being a boy. You know what I'm saying? And then also it's like it's just not cool, because when you're in the streets, or even not being in the streets, just, you know, the way men are supposed to be taught, men are taught the way that we're supposed to be, our masculinity is connected to how many women, you know, we have, or it's connected to how big our car is or how fly we look, you know what I'm saying? And when you start talking about becoming conscious, you start, like you say, you're talking about being great within your average, you know what I'm saying, which is how I like to identify. It's like, you know, I'm this average black man, and I'm cool with that, and I'm just going to try to be great within my average. You know, that's not socially acceptable amongst brothers who identify one another's status within the group based on material possessions, or based on, you know, how many women they done been with, or, you know, based on how many heads they done bust. So one of some of the challenges for us is getting beyond trying to be identified as, you know, or being so egotistical, you know what I'm saying, to reducing the ego and breaking a little bit more of our feminine side, right, which is the side of us that, you know, is more open to being loving, more open to, you know, nurturing, and patient. And a lot of men, you know, they look at that as weakness. You know what I'm saying? They've been taught to look at stuff like that as weakness. You know what I mean? So that'd be the struggle with us. You know what I'm saying? I remember for me, for a long time, you know what I'm saying, talking about black, you know, loving my blackness and loving other black men and women, you know what I'm saying, as I love myself. And at that, like, man, come on, man. Black people, you know what I'm saying, the first ones to goddamn dog you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I remember I used to be talking like that. Like, man, it'd be black people, man, that, you know what I'm saying, that kill you, bro. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't have an understanding of how we as black people have been victimized by mysticide and decolonized mind, PTSS and all of that. So those are the things that hinder black men in particular, you know what I'm saying, from gaining consciousness.
Yeah.
Getting beyond the ego, you know what I'm saying?
With me, another thing with me was I was addicted to money. I'm not even going to say kind of. I was really materialistic, like I had. And so I literally, in becoming conscious, had to walk away from everything. I was, like I said, in an abusive relationship, 8-year-long relationship, three-bedroom house, 2 bathrooms, like, I had it, my own business and everything, and I literally walked away from everything upon becoming conscious, because, I mean, I had to, like you said, become comfortable within myself and being average, and, you know, it wasn't it. I wasn't happy there, and it was keeping me stagnant. So I had to be comfortable with not having, because I know that if I'm putting my money back into the greater good, it's going to come back to me, and the universe provides everything that I need anyway. You know, so it's just becoming, it was being comfortable with what I had, and even being comfortable with what I didn't have, because I had to learn that if I didn't have it and I couldn't get it, then I don't need it. I can't be have anxiety or be all upset or changing my energy because of something that I don't have. And a lot of women tend to do that, especially women with children, because if you don't have, then, you know, your children don't have. So, you know, it was becoming, it was just had to get out the monetary European brainwashing. Like, I don't need all these big cars. I don't need to get my nails done. I could do my own eyebrows. I could do my own hair. I could do my own nails. Like, it's not that simple. I don't have to put money.
So your call breaking up, Ocean.
Oh, I don't have to, you know, make other people rich to make myself look good. I'm going to keep myself check to check, but, you know, the people in the nail salon good, the people in the hair salon good, and I get in my money and I'm messed up when I could have did the stuff myself. So it was becoming self-sufficient and, you know, starting to buy black and go beyond, above and beyond to buy black, because a lot of places where I was, it wasn't a lot of black businesses that I could go to. It was also having to learn how to address and speak to and respect the black man, because we've been taught to be so angry at the black man and be discontent. And so I had to step away from that and learn how to control myself and my emotions and be the queen that I should have been, you know, a very long time ago. But instead I was this, you know, zombie lady,
mm-hmm.
because we have a lot of issues with putting a black man down as black women, you know, when you brainwash.
Yeah, well,
you know,
absolutely.
Not having patience, not building them up, and we have to change that too, and that's something that we are in the process of changing, and I have myself changed a lot.
No doubt. I agree with you. I think that's part of the Willie Lynchism, if you will, part of the PTSS, part of the mental side. Part of it is destroying, you know, the gender warfare that, if you will, that exists in the community. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was telling you. It's like, and we contribute to that by, I mean, let's be real, man. The hood is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So when you're living in a situation where you're just trying to survive, you know what I'm saying? I always point back to that. You know what I'm saying? When you're just trying to survive, you pick up abnormal cultural norms. You know what I'm saying? You start taking on things that you think is normal that ain't normal. So you start, like, well, you know, some of the things you go through as a kid start making you bitter and resentful. You know what I'm saying? Selfish. You feel like, you know, I've been through all these things as a kid, man. You know, my mom, you know, ain't nobody doing nothing for me. My mom out there working hard, but my dad, I don't know this nigga. Ain't no neighbors giving me nothing. You know what I'm saying? Got no way I can go and get no food. So, you know, the world is cold. I'm just trying to survive. And then you start coming into contact. You might have seen your sister or I'm talking as a man now, your sister or your mom's or your aunt. She, you know, she playing dudes. She's sleeping with mad dudes. So you think in your mind, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I know how these women are. You know what I'm saying? They'll never trick me. You know what I'm saying? So now when I deal with the queen, I'm looking at her like, you know, she's suspect. I got to be careful because she's trying to get me. She ain't nothing but a whore for real. You know what I'm saying? And all of these things, like you say, it calls us to have a certain level of mistrust, you know what I'm saying, and enmity towards our queen, you know, and vice versa. And so we treat y'all like that and return y'all to us like that, and that's what ends up happening. And it is the result of a lack of consciousness, us just going with the flow, getting caught up in the system, not being able to assess and analyze what the hell is happening in our communities that's causing us to get these different value systems, you know what I'm saying? So I can definitely relate to that. I wanna see if my man Righteous is online, because I know that he wanted to add on. He gonna be with us for a short period of time. Righteous, are you there, bro?
Yo, peace.
Peace, man. I was hoping you made it up. Like, man, so,
peace.
Yeah, so we wanted to ask you, man, if you could, man, could you just give us a brief definition of what you see consciousness is and what was your process to becoming conscious?
Okay, well, you know, peace to everybody. I just want to, basically it's like when you're dealing with a level of consciousness, man, I can honestly say that during the course of my growth and development, I became conscious more than so ignorant, because consciousness is like it deletes all ignorance because of the fact that you are aware. Consciousness only means to be aware of something. So what am I aware of, or what are anybody aware of? What are you really studying, or are you still going by the perception of a European mentality? So therefore, if I know that I wiped or deleted my mentality from that particular mindset, then that means that I must be aware of my black consciousness, because that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm becoming black conscious means to putting everything in the proper perspective of who I am. See, when you look at conscious, you got to look at the attribute of conscious, which is conscience. Conscience really is the ability to do all these things that you say you're conscious of, because it is to know what is right or wrong. But at the same time, it's trying to do right. See, Martin Luther King said the time is always right to do right. So therefore, I was thinking about that, and I was like, yo, what do you mean by that? Why is it always the right time? Because if you say you are conscious, then you will stop being conscience, because con means to basically the study of or to study, and science means to what? It basically is the knowledge of yourself. So it means to study yourself. And if you love yourself enough, then you will love your people. You know, these are the things that we got to do and go through life, what makes us who we are. That's why when you say you have a certain level of conscience, people expect certain things out you. In the hood, in the community, in prison, make no difference where we at. This is why we try to do certain things to help people, because there's no way that I can say I love myself or I'm conscious of who I am. I'm studying myself every day, and yet still, I'm still doing the same thing that got me or enabled me or making me a bad person or making me do wrong things. So therefore, I must not have that level of consciousness. So that means that I didn't attribute it or get it or let it rise to a high elevation of conscience, see, or conscience. And this is what we got to develop in ourselves. I'm going to give you an example, basically. When you're dealing with examples, you're dealing with certain things so you people can relate. So if I give you an example like such as I was dealing with the God one day, when y'all, we were talking about perception. And it's like, if you walk into a house for the people out there. If you walk into a house, you go into a house and it's dirty, it's filthy, it stinks and all that. And somebody was living there prior to that, and they was like, yo, and they just be cool with it. They was all right with it. They just living in filth. You conscious, you aware of what's going on. You know that his house is dirty, his house is junky. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing they did to make it better. You know that this is awareness. You know this. But to level of conscience will make you start cleaning up, because of the fact that you know that this person cannot keep living like this, or they would die, and bacterial things will happen to this person and yourself. So a conscious person would not stay in that house living in that filth. So that means conscious is to what? To clean up. Clean up the surroundings of who you are, because of the fact that you would not be in proper order of yourself or putting things in a proper perspective, meaning to give order to these things or give life to something. So that means that you're not going to live like that if you say you're conscious, because that level of conscience will start rising above the norm. That you might have been lazy at first, it makes you grow up and do something. You might have been ignorant at first, it makes you intelligent. These are the things that putting things in the proper order, or when we say proper perspective. So this house got to get clean. Something has to be done. So this is why we clean house in the streets, in our community. People who say they're conscious, they will clean up. They will go out and work. They will do things that necessary to make these necessary steps to make people wonder, like, okay, now I see you. Because that's the perception now. Because if you say you something and people perceive you as something, they see you doing something else, then your perception becomes tainted or tampered with. Because this is what you're saying you are, but you're doing something contradictory to that. And that's the problem I have with a lot of people who say they're conscious. And that's why we got to start rising above that, you know, because I look at it, if you say you me and we say we alike, then no. If you ain't doing nothing, I'm gonna tell you about it. Well, I'm gonna at least do something about what you're not doing, because I'm gonna continue to do what I gotta do to keep my level of conscience rising high. Because the more I do work, that's what energy is. It's the capacity to do work. The more I do work, it's the better I become, and the more productive I become. And it will actually help me learn more, too, in the process. So that's what conscience is all about. Peace.
What's up? And I think, man, that most peace. Thank you for that, bro. And don't go nowhere if you can. And if you do have to hang up, call back. I want to add on to something you just said, man, because you sparked that thought. You was talking about the conscience. You know what I'm saying? And we talking about now the double consciousness that exists, particularly when we talk about Afrocentric consciousness, because that's what I like to deal with, black consciousness, man, in particular. You know what I mean? As black people who may be listening to this show, we have a particular unique experience over here in the wilderness in North America And I think in order for us to survive this and be able to liberate ourselves beyond just survival, but to take it to us, take it to the level of liberation and freedom, we have to develop a black consciousness, an Afrocentric consciousness that first begins with understanding our experiences over here and our experience prior to coming over here. But what happens is once we gain this knowledge, and then we gain the value system that comes with gaining this knowledge, you see what I'm saying? There's the difficulty now in trying to activate knowledge, as the brother was just talking about, and at the same time living in America. You know what I'm saying? And this is the contradiction he's talking about. So how does that work? Okay, well, we might recognize that, as somebody was telling me earlier, that, you know, autism is the result of them giving our kids these vaccines. But we also know that these, you know, we may become aware of that. We may become conscious of that. And we learn it. But then we may also know, you know, that if we don't give our sons the vaccine, then they can't go into the public school. You know what I mean? So now we have this conflict. So now we're trying to figure out what they're wrong. If I don't give my son the vaccine, he can't go into the public school. Will I be robbing him of an experience that will give him certain social skills, certain abilities in the future? If I try to homeschool him, you know what I'm saying, will I be limiting his experience socially? You come into a conflict, and it forces you to behave in a different way. You know what I'm saying? And so consciousness, even though you gain consciousness, it doesn't mean that you don't have these conflicts that are the result of you living in a system that is contrary or anti-conscious. Because for real, our society really promotes and advocates that you go with the flow, that you get you a job, you know, you're 9 to 5, you go to church, you get you a house, white picket fence. You know, the American dream is this static concept that everybody's chasing. You know, you get you some money, you get you the nice pretty girl, if you're a female, you get you the nice firm husband, you know, with intelligent, whatever, and he got the job, and you got the house on the hill out in the suburbs, and, yo, that's the American way, this is the American dream. But there's no real incentive to strive for any type of spiritual consciousness, no spiritual development, because at the core is what we're talking about, no connectivity to all other human beings. And so this contradiction of the individual self and the collective self that is the result of you becoming more conscious in America is always there. My man Du Bois called it the double consciousness, you know what I'm saying? And he described it more so as, you know, becoming aware of yourself as a black person, as an African person, but living in white-ass America, and how you have that contradiction. So, yeah, it's the best piece that you brought that up. I want to, real fast, I want to do two things. One, I want to, the Queen O'Shun, man, I want to promote some things. She got a movement, Black to Basics. Go on Facebook, check it out, Black to Basics. That's Black to Basics. And she also has another movement, Let's Stop Killing Each Other. Check these movements out on Facebook, man. The sister's doing some big things. Also, if there's anybody who's on the line right now that want to come in, press 1. We'd love to hear from you. And before we get to that, I just want to say, Ms. K, for everybody that may be listening in the Richmond area, Ms. K is having a get-together with people on June the 7th between 1 and 7 at the Easton Library. Go to rihd.org. As soon as this talk is over, find out as much as you can support Ms. K. Is there anybody on the line that would like to talk? Hello. Okay, well then I'm gonna end Jack. If you want to add on.
Hold on 1 second. I have my phone muted, brother. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. In the meantime, while she's getting herself together.
804-247.
Okay. Add on 804-247.
Okay. There's also 804-507.
804-507, are you there?
Peace.
804, peace.
Peace, it's Pro-Life, man.
Pro-Life, what's up, bro? How you doing? Okay, what's good, man?
What's going on, man? Glad to be here, man. Glad to show some love, to this movement, man.
Yeah, so we had known about becoming conscious, man. I guess what we would like to know from you is, as a younger brother, you know, what was your process to becoming conscious, man? And what do you see as being conscious? How do you define being conscious?
Well, to me, being conscious is pretty much being aware to what the world really is and not what it presents itself to be on face value. You know, there's a lot of things that the media and, you know, these different news outlets project to be actual and factual, but it's a whole lot of misunderstanding to that. And what pretty much brought me to being conscious, I got locked up when I was 19. And immediately, as a 19-year-old individual coming off the streets, I had no idea or understanding of what it meant to be a thinker. So, you know, I immediately got caught up in, you know, the nuances of the penitentiary life, you know, wanting to gang bang and, you know, just do recklessness, you know what I'm saying, being destructive to the black community pretty much. So, you know, of course, I met, you know, some 5% of individuals and just good brothers who pretty much let me know and seen in me that I had potential to be something greater, you understand? So I just, you know, from that day on, man, I just chose to, you know, dedicate my life towards being something, man. And, you know, as I do my studies and I've done all the research and throughout my travels, I've known and understand that, you know, our ancestors, man, they fought very, very hard and sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, shed blood, sweat, and tears, you know. And for me to indulge on the path of being destructive and not continuing on what they left behind would be anti-black, pretty much. So that's pretty much, you know, how I became conscious and what I think of consciousness.
Hey, thank you for that offering that, man. That's most peace right there. And I know the young brother, man, he's a good young brother. He is who he say he is. Brother studies hard, man. He's one of the great examples of what can happen when you become conscious at an early age. And the brother about to be released, man. I know he's going to go out there and be an excellent father and an excellent brother in the community, man. That's straight up showing some love, man. That's my man right there. Is anybody else, man, any other callers that we have that want to add on? If you want to add on, please press 1. In the meantime, if we don't have anybody, what I want to bring, Oshun, I want to bring you back in the conversation, and I want to switch gears again because I want to make the conversation even broader. So now I want to ask you as a woman, because another aspect to the lack of consciousness from my perspective, and I could be wrong, I'm a man, right, but I want to know, is I look at the women's lib movement. I look at this idea of being a feminist, this, you know, I can do what the man can do as another level of a lack of consciousness, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you for using GTL.
I look at that as another level of a lack of consciousness, and I look at, you know, that being women not fully understanding their value and who it is that they are and what they contribute, right? So I want to ask you as a queen, am I tripping, or, you know, do you see it that way? Like, is women's liberation anti-consciousness or lack of consciousness?
The feminist movement has absolutely nothing to do with us. That wasn't our fight at all, as history goes, and you have to look that up. I'm not going to go too deep into that, but, ladies, that's not our fight. I'm definitely not a feminist by any means. Yes, we can do things by ourselves and all of that, but having a man is balanced. And, like, I believe that it was a distraction for us to – it was just something else for them to take away from us because, you know, it was another ploy. Like, because we all of a sudden is independent, we don't need a man and all of this, we ended up with no man in the home. So, you know, where does that really leave us?
Okay, that's so right. I like that. And I think on the flip side, you know, brothers who don't understand themselves as connected to the woman that struggled, if you will, I think that's a lack of consciousness. If you don't feel like, you know, trying to help the women gain this proper respect and the balance in our society, if you don't see yourself as being a contributor to that, you lack your consciousness, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, see, brother, the thing about it is, you know, when you're conscious, a queen, you're a conscious queen, you know that the black conscious man looks at us as goddesses anyway. So there's no reason for that feminist BS anyway. Like, you put on a pedestal anyway. So what are you, you know what I'm saying? What are you fighting for? What is? Let's do this together. Like, this is not about all about us. This is about us, as in we, men and women, the unit.
I agree, and that's the wholeness. That's that unconsciousness right there. Do we have anybody on before we move forward that wants to add on or wants to contribute to the conversation? If so, press 1. We'd love to hear from you. Anybody. Okay. Let's take it back then for a second to consciousness as far as like evolved, awakened man, right? Okay. And so, what would you say is a gift and a curse to being conscious? A gift and a curse to being conscious.
And a curse. That's a hard question to answer. Like, I guess it would say, like, I'm always working. Like, that's my main thing is just getting what I need to get done for the people. So I tend not to sleep. I tend not to get any rest, but I'm happy with what I'm doing. So it's like, well, you know, I went to sleep at 4 and I got up at 7 and, you know, I'm happy with what I'm doing. I might be a little tired, but this is what we need, so I'm good. But I'm tired as hell, so it's a good and a curse because I'm at peace with inside myself. I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I know that what I'm doing is going to make a difference. So, you know, even if it is on a small scale, although I know, you know, my dreams for the people are huge, so I know that we're going to get it because I'm losing sleep over it. And I'm enjoying losing sleep over this, but I wish I could get a little bit more sleep, you know, but it is what it is, because revolutionary, you always revolutionary, 365, so if that's really the calendar, but it is what it is. I'm proud and honored to be able to lose sleep for the people.
I feel like for me, to get the curse, we know the gift is the blessings of being aware and having more control of your life. That's a blessing. That's a gift for me. I feel like I can think. I can make decisions. I can act in myself and be confident and comfortable and just being me and not deal with the pressures of society because I got some wild-ass value system. I will say that the curse is sometimes you end up getting so disconnected and removed from the people who, you know, you used to love. Like, you know, as you become more conscious, and they ain't conscious, it's like y'all start falling, you know, more and more in conflict because the value systems are conflicting. You seeing things they ain't seeing. You got your third eye open, they ain't catching it. And a lot of times, you know, things that used to bother them, I mean, didn't bother you now, and they ain't understanding why. Another aspect is in the professional realm, you know what I'm saying? You might not have the same opportunities because you won't have to conform to what society or what the status quo says is acceptable thinking in order to have certain jobs. And you see that even in the prison. You know what I'm saying? I do a joint thinking for a change, and a lot of the people don't like to deal with me because they feel like, you know, I'm a problem because the way I teach it is totally different. I teach thinking for a change from the perspective of a conscious person. You know what I'm saying? So I don't just teach no brainwashing booklet, you know, read from the joint. I'm trying to teach brothers how to think and really examine the value system without trying to give them one, though. You know what I'm saying? You have to come up with your own value system. I'm trying to teach brothers how to go seek that knowledge, and that's not what they feel. And they want you to not just tell them to challenge their value system. They want you to give them a value system. And to me, that's just enslavement. You know what I'm saying? And so this all of this is a part of the curse, I think, of being conscious, too, in a society where so many people lack consciousness. I think we got another caller. Is there somebody that wanted to add on or give us some perspective or point of view?
Yes, it is, 919-232.
Okay, caller, 919-232. We'd like to hear from you. What you got going on? Caller, 919-232. Are you there? All right, well...
okay, we got another one. The 757-802.
Okay, are you there, Paul? You want to add on? All right, we're going to give it a second before we bring callers, and I think we have some technical difficulty. Bringing it back, though, back to the conversation, what we were talking about before. So now, establishing that there are, you know... let me ask you this, Oshun, before I get further off track. I know that you was asking me earlier... before we start the show, you said you may have a question that you wanted to present to me. I didn't know if this was a time that you might want to go there.
Yeah, so my question was, how is it being conscious, you know, behind bars? Like, because I'm pretty sure, like, you have, you know, your values and you have to stand up as a man and as a warrior. And I know that it's certain challenges that you face and, you know, holding your own. Especially against, you know, everything that you face in there.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the challenges, one of the greatest challenges is not allowing, you know, as a conscious man, the main thing that we strive for is more and more freedom and liberation, conscious people. We always try to be freer and freer. You know, that's what the knowledge does. That's what education does. And here it is, you're in a situation where you are quintessentially locked down, bound, and constrained. So that contradiction is a tough thing to navigate. you really have to do a lot of internal soul searching and always having to find different ways to reconcile the fact that you know you have all of this knowledge and understanding with the fact that people are trying to prevent you from being active and using it. And that's a challenge. For example, like, you know, they have all of these different rules that are designed, you know what I'm saying, that pretty much prisonize you, you know what I'm saying? And so here you are trying not to be prisonized. You're trying to be free. You're trying to reach your God conscious, yet they're trying to turn you into a prisoner. They're trying to turn you into 1108-900. They want you to be institutionalized because as someone who's thoroughly institutionalized, it makes them more effective in controlling the prison environment. Here you are. You're trying to be free. You're trying to start businesses. You're trying to become more spiritually free. You're trying to contribute to the liberation of yourself and kind. That's a contradiction, because once you start talking like that, you're talking about eating healthy. You're talking about not wasting your money on frivolous things. Well, those are the same things that they utilize to maintain institutions. So that shit hard. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to deal with the internal conflict of, you know, people that you know that ain't conscious instructing you and giving you instruction. You know what I'm saying? The belittlement of people who you feel like ain't on your level. You know what I'm saying? That's the side that is that a lot of people don't see, like somebody coming through telling you go in the room or stand for count or this is the last call for dinner. You know what I'm saying? We're going to shut the door and I'll let you go out. And you're looking at this person who might be 24 years old, fresh out of high school, who you can tell is a nitwit, and you like, come on, man. So all of that's difficult, you know, and it's like in one of my favorite books, it's a slave narrative by Frederick Douglass called Narratives of a Slave. And in that book, Frederick Douglass talked about when the slave mistress, Mrs. Auld, was trying to teach him how to read. He talked about what happened when the slave master found out, and he called Mrs. Auld into a room, and Frederick Douglass happened to be in another room, and he could listen through the door to hear the conversation. He talked about how Mr. Auld was like, why are you teaching him how to read? Talking to his wife, why are you teaching him how to read? The only thing you're going to do is increase his misery. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to be all educated, but he's going to be a slave. He ain't going to be able to do nothing with the education. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be stuck on a plantation his whole life regardless, whether he know or not. So you're just making him suffer more. You know what I'm saying? And I think what Fred said he learned in that moment was that, you know, he had to be willing to die to be free. You know what I'm saying? And so that, for me, is what the greatest consciousness and awareness that I have learned being in prison as a conscious man is that there's no true freedom unless you're willing to die. And it made me come to terms with my willingness to die. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what I personally feel like is the hardest thing, some of the hardest things to deal with in the prison, is not to allow myself to suffer the negative emotions and feel like, you know, I'm going to become victimized and just fall victim to the prison condition, but I'm going to overcome it in spite of. And in fact, consciousness actually helps with that. You know what I'm saying? That's a great question, yo. So now, do we have anybody who wants to add on?
Yes, we do. 434-525.
Yes, hello.
434-525.
This is Ishmael, man. First of all, I'd like to thank you, man, for creating our platform. Yo, what's up, bro? First, you know, I just got into the plantation, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'd like to first thank you, bro, for creating this public platform, man, to raise consciousness, man. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, today's topic was on conscious raising.
Yes, sir.
I think there's two things that I would like to address, because I just plugged in, right? I think we need to address, or I'd like to ask, have you addressed the two problems which are the major obstacles, I believe, towards raising consciousness. One is would be indifference, and the other would be influence. And the reason why I'd like to deal with the second one first, influence. I was reading something by James Baldwin, and this is what he said in the book I'm reading called A Hand to Guide Me. James Baldwin said that children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Now, the reason why I think that's so significant is because, you know, oftentimes you have a lot of brothers that say that we're conscious and stuff like that, right, you know what I'm saying? But we fail to realize that our children or the youth are really imitating our actions. So when we have a negative self-concept that's been birthed out of a European cultural incubator, then what can we expect but dysfunctionalism?
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And then now the next obstacle is indifference. You know, man, that's a powerful thing. You got so many people out here that just don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? It's until something affects us in our personal lives, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you know, in the cotton fields you hear brothers say, you know, stupid shit like, man, miss me with that black shit. You know, and I heard President Obama say this a couple days ago. Huh?
No, I had on, brother.
Obama said this okay, thank you. It's hard for me to hear. President Obama said that it's not cool, ain't nothing cool about being ignorant or dumb. Now, the ironic thing about that is that Dr. Martin Luther King said this back in the day. He said, nothing in this world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. So what we suffer from is arrested development. You know, and I was talking to Brother Scar the other day, right, and he shared something with me about what Jay-Z said. If you're Brother Scar, can you share what you said about what Jay-Z said in one of his songs?
It was Nas, man, and he said on the Nigga album in one of the songs, he talked about American blacks being the teenagers of this world.
You know, that's a powerful thing because think about this, man. Right now we're living in a country where we think it's cool to be dumb. You know, that it gives us swag or vitality, you know what I'm saying, and that being serious is being uptight, acting old. You know, one time Jay-Z said that 30 is the new 20, then Nas had to turn around and say what you said. You know, so we need to stop taking pride and thinking that, you know, being dumb is turning it up, getting amped, you know what I'm saying, being stupid and shit, you know, things like that, because we have ancestors who have laid down a blueprint for us and what we in the Pan-African community call conscious race. You see what I'm saying? And when we get rid of that attitude of their difference and begin to engage in a level of conscious raising, which can only be done by giving a cultural education. I don't know how many people are familiar with what a cultural education is or what the difference between a cultural education and a technical education. And if you don't, I'd like to share that with brothers and sisters. A technical education basically teaches the person. Okay, technical education basically teaches a person or people skills that are relevant to performance or task. In other words, teaches us how to be good Americans or good Negroes. But a cultural education is an education that teaches a person or people values that are relevant to our perception. You know, and I think it's important for me to point on that perception is normally controlled by the distribution of information. And when we fail to realize that we've been socially engineered, you know what I'm saying, to act like we act, then we're going to continue to act like drones, act like robots, just do stupid shit, man. You see that every day. But I don't want to go too far, man. I like to hear somebody else, girl.
Man, look, now that's most peace. You ain't go too far, man. Look, that's L what you're saying. The cultural education, that's where I'm at. Because to me, it ain't just about consciousness. To me, it's about black consciousness. Because consciousness in and of itself is a beautiful thing, just becoming aware. But what are we coming aware of, man? You know what I'm saying? There's various things to become aware of. You know what I'm saying? For me, man, you got to become aware in this European society, man, of who you are as an African descendant, man, and how this country is anti-you. The origin, the basis of this country is anti-you. And until you fully understand it, like Nelly Fuller said, hey, is you still there?
Say that again?
Are you still there? Because I want you to hit that quote, man, you always said for me from Nelly Fuller, man, about white supremacy, bro. Could you give the people that quote?
Okay. Nelly Fuller said that until you understand white supremacy and racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you.
And see, that right there is basically why it is essential for us to have a cultural education. Because, like Brother Malcolm said, everybody want to act like Brother Malcolm with the Mecca and just start loving white folk. We got to stop misrepresenting the brother. Brother Malcolm was definitely about separation, even after he left the Nation of Islam, because he understood the importance, man, of us developing a cultural education, some self-efficacy, some independence. And to me, when we talk about consciousness, we ain't talking about black consciousness in this world, in particular, that's controlled by Europeans and destructive towards the black self-concept, we really just shooting the breeze. We really just in the way. We chase, you know what I mean? We chasing the wind. So that's powerful, man. I'm glad you came through with that, Ish, man. That's a powerful piece. We needed that, bro, Pan-African perspective. Love you, man. Is there anybody else online who would like to give us a piece in our last few minutes? Is there anybody else who would like to add on? Do we have any numbers, Ocean? Okay. Did we lose O'Shawn? It seems like we may have. All right. Well, yeah. Let's bring that back then. Let's bring, you know, what brother just said about American blacks being a teenager of this world, and he talked about the indifference. And I like to go there too because I see what he's saying oftentimes happening in the world around me. Like you say, brother, talking about, man, miss me with that blacks. But yet, whenever we talking to Asian people or we talking to Europeans or we talking to Hispanic people or whatever, you know what I'm saying, there's never enough cultural education when it comes to them. I mean, cultural education, man, they taught early in life Peace. Is there anybody on?
Peace.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, hold on 1 second, bro. Yeah, I was saying, I was just making a quick point. I'm going to wrap it up. Cultural education is essential to all of these different groups, all these different racial groups, ethnic groups, what have you. Yet when it comes to us, we've been conditioned to be anti-black in the way that we perceive the world. Miss me with that. I can't get no money with that. But that's essential to a lot of people's development. You know what I'm saying? Pro-Life, you back with us. You wanted to add? You had another piece you wanted to add?
Yeah, peace. You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Peace. You can hear me?
Peace. Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, peace. Yeah, you know, I pretty much wanted to tackle the topic of black consciousness from, you know, a young perspective. And why I feel that a lot of young individuals don't embark on a journey of getting conscious. And DP, you know, when I was in the pod with you, you touched on a very important fact on how a lot of individuals who are young and now embarking on this journey of mass incarceration don't really have education. The education and reading level is very, very low. And you know, when you start taking on this journey and start reading, because of course, you know, they say the best book walks on 2 feet. But of course, us as individuals, we also have to take the time to study these great individuals and the works that they put together so that we can develop our own understanding. And a lot of these young brothers lack the ability, because the ego takes on many different forms, and the ego will get an individual to reject or even trying to take on black consciousness. So another thing, man, we have to encourage these young brothers that, you know, it's like working out. You know, once you start, you might not be able to bench press 200 immediately, but you might have to start with the 110 and then work your way up, man. So a lot of these young brothers just need to be encouraged and know that it's a beautiful thing once you embark on this journey and start getting your mind very strong, man. That's the point I wanted to add on, because that's what I see going on a lot with individuals in my age bracket, man. They're just scared on taking the task of reading, man.
I think that's critical, man. Our low rates of literacy in the black community, which, I mean, come on, man, these people got, what, 250, 300-year head start on us when it comes to literacy. I mean, it was criminal for us to read, and we can't act like the PTSS. There ain't no condition. There ain't no conditioned response to literacy and our lack of desire for wanting to learn how to read. I mean, there's some historical connections to that. There's a modern day with the school-to-prison pipeline and low levels of expectation from what we have as a majority white female teacher workforce. You know what I'm saying? All of these things contribute to what the brother just said. You're right about that. I know right up in the prisons, man, in Virginia, you know, they say the average brother reads at a ninth grade level or lower. You know what I'm saying? And that says a lot. You know what I'm saying? That says a lot to what a person can comprehend. I don't want to take up too much time. I know we got other people on the line. Is there anybody, any other callers that may want to add on before we move forward?
No, I'd like to say something else about me.
Please do, brother. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I like to, I'm listening to what my brother Pro-Life just said, man, and that's a very important point, right? But we need to go back to that emulation, man, you know what I'm saying, and our people imitate us. See, John Emmett Clark said this. He said that power is the ability to define reality and have others respond to it as if they were their own. So we have to ask ourselves whose ideals, whose philosophies, whose ideologies are we tap dancing to in this day and time? You feel what I'm saying? And until we address that issue, because it's quite obvious, man, at this juncture of time, that far too many of us just aren't connected to God. You feel what I'm saying? Excuse me. Far too many of us not connecting the dots and being able to identify who the power structure is and how that power structure works. You feel what I'm saying? It's like, I often tell you, man, it's like, we need to get tired of feeling like we have to be apologetic for being black. You know what I'm saying? Let me share you.
Hey,
let me share something with you about me.
No, we got 60 seconds. I don't want to cut your wisdom. I don't want to cut your wisdom, God. Thank you
for
that. Oshun, thank you. Everybody that added on the call, I'm sorry, man. We're running out of time. We got 60 seconds. As always, man, the first step forward is going backwards. That's the process to gaining consciousness. Sankofa, look it up. Sankofa. If you're listening, look it up. Google it. Free all political prisoners, man. Free all political prisoners. If you know somebody in prison, man, reach out to them, support them. We need your help, man. Mass incarceration ain't a person problem. It's a black people problem. They at us, man. Free all political prisoners. You're over. I love everybody listening. RIHD.org. Support Miss Kennedy. RIHD.org. Support Miss Kennedy. And if you can, go to Ascari Donso and check out some of these shows, man. Support us here at Zenkofa Radio. Thank you to Oshun for supporting us at Zenkofa Radio and all the brothers that called in. We love y'all. Yahoo!
All right, thank you, brother.